welcome to Northwestern Mutual's Perspectives. Each month, we'll talk about current news and what's going on in the world and how that may impact you and your finances. Your hosts are Ron Jolson, Executive Vice President and Chief Investment Officer of Northwestern Mutual, and Mark McLennan, Vice President of Investment Advisory Services with Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and we'll notify you when a new segment is available. Thanks for joining us, and now I'll hand it off to Ron and Mark.
Well, thank you for joining us. This is Mark McLennan. I'm here again with Ron Jolson.
As usual, always fun to be with you, Mark.
Well, you know, we've talked over the last few months about things like consumer sentiment, interest rates, some of the uncertainties overseas, all things that could impact markets. However, the markets were showing us that something extraordinary really needed to happen to show some kind of move.
And we talked about that.
Yep. And since we've spoken, both the S&P and the Dow are down from their records in September. The Russell 2000 essentially is in like correction territory. So what's happened that made people or companies react in this manner?
Well, I think the global picture has just become so foggy. And, you know, we're seeing falling commodity prices. We're seeing strain in Germany, and that really wasn't anticipated. It's not surprising, I think, that market volatility is on the upswing. So near zero growth in Europe is the big thing, because expectations, I think, were even low to begin with, and so they're below even those expectations. But let's not forget that the global situation, the geopolitical situation, is concerning people. ISIS taking more territory, the Ukraine ceasefire crumbling. I think now there's a thought that maybe Russian hackers had something to do in the U.S. again. Ebola fears. We've got the cases in the U.S. and also in Spain. I think that could find its way into risk premium, frankly. So I think that's what's going on, and perhaps it may well be that there hasn't been a lot of other news out there, so those things that may be in the background during other periods are forefront right now. Is the U.S. poised to withstand the turbulence? I think the answer, though, there is yes. I mean, we've seen unemployment come down now to 5.9. The job gains are strong. 248,000 is a pretty good number for jobs, and in the last 12 months, I think we've had over 2.5 million of job gains. And total employment is up almost 1.5% year over year. Income growth is solid, up almost 5% year over year, and inflation is pretty tame. So the U.S. does continue to look pretty attractive for investors. We see that in our real estate markets pretty substantially. So I think the reason for some of the concern is more globally. And let's not forget the U.S. is only 20% of global GDP. But I think the U.S. is well positioned, and it's one of the reasons I'm very happy that we're almost completely hedged in our foreign holdings right now.
Okay, I think you already started answering this question then, because at 67 months, the bull market's gone on around 40% longer than the average bull market since the 60s. Now, do you think the bull's getting tired? We've had a lot of volatility this week, but what do you think about that?
Well, I had no idea you were going to ask this question, but since it was a possibility, I actually did go back and took a look at some of the recoveries in the past. So this is more economic than bull markets. But in 91, we had 38 quarters of recovery. In 1983, we had about 30. 61, we had 34 quarters. And we're about 19 quarters in on this recovery. So you are correct. We are above the long-term average, but we've had some pretty long recovery periods in the past, and we're not even close to those. So I think we need to be careful about using time periods as a way to assess the bull market. I think more importantly, I think the key to this whole thing is the whole question of multiples versus earnings. And we know multiples have been pretty strong and have been a reason for a lot of the growth. But interestingly enough, if you look at 2009 to 2013, revenues are up, you know, almost 30%. It's been about 7% a year. It's not just profit margins. We're seeing top-line growth and margin improvement. And even though I think multiples at this 15 times amount is probably about where we're going to be, I think there is some more room on the profit margin side to grow, and not just improving costs, but also top-line growth. And if that can continue, I don't see any reason why we couldn't have this market a little bit longer.
Okay. We'll check in on that in the next future podcast. You know, it wouldn't be a conversation about the economy if we didn't talk a little bit about rates. And given some of this recent market news, you know, the VIX being at the highest since 2012, other things going on, no correction since 2011, do you think the Fed will continue to keep rates low as you pointed out this global economy is still showing signs of slowing and, in fact, there's a few Fed presidents like Daniel Tarullo and John Williams who tend to agree with you.
You're such a name dropper.
I know.
Yeah.
I know Mr. Ron Jolson.
You know, I think the Fed is doing this whole thing on the numbers. Everybody's looking for hints at what they're trying to do. I think the most important thing that we're seeing from the Fed is they no longer fully believe the unemployment headline numbers, and they're looking at things like wage growth and other things. And so at this point, I think the hawks are going to have to be satisfied with the fact that the tapering program, you know, is ending as it was expected to end. The tapering has happened, that is. And so now it's the question of the Fed raising rates. They're going to raise them only if they see enough strength in the underlying economy. I think that's just the bottom line. Right now, I don't think there's enough strength for us to be too concerned about that. I know it sounds backwards, but I actually think they may not raise them as quickly as we thought. Let's keep in mind that we still have this differential between U.S. rates and foreign rates, and therefore we're seeing, you know, plenty of money coming in. The dollar has continued to be strong. And so as a result of that, it may well be that they keep it low for a bit longer at this point. And certainly, you know, we've seen the fear trade and everything else result in the 10-year Treasury today being in the low 220s and probably, you know, won't be sustainable there. But still, I don't think the Fed is going to have to rush out necessarily and raise rates until we see a fairly strong growth pattern. So to me, we'll see. The numbers will develop, and I don't think the Fed is going to move too quickly. I think they'll take their time.
Okay. Well, third quarter earnings reports are also kicking off this month. Some have already come out. What are you keeping an eye out for, and what do you think would be the biggest impacts to personal investors?
It's a great question because I think there are some real things, and we've alluded to some of this, the concerns about Europe. So let's look for companies that have earnings outside of the U.S. People are worried about China and Europe, and it's not just the actual earnings numbers, but when we see the reports for the multinationals, what's happening to the earnings pictures of the foreign elements of those companies? We're going to have to keep an eye on that. There's a real recession watch for France and Germany. And also, emerging market growth has been lagging. So is that going to impact the profits as well of some of those multinationals? So I think that's probably the biggest story. The second thing I'd probably keep an eye on is just the pace of share buybacks. Is that slowing? We think it probably will start slowing, but that's something to be watching.
Okay, well, we covered a little bit of the markets. We covered rates. Anything else to add? Thanks for your time.
No, but I am curious to see what happens with earnings because I think that's the thing that's going to impact a lot of these numbers this quarter, including how the equity markets will respond. So we'll talk next time about that too, probably.
Great. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Northwestern Mutual is the marketing name for the Northwestern Mutual Life Insurance Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and its subsidiaries offering life insurance, disability insurance, and annuities. Northwestern Mutual Wealth Management Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, is a subsidiary of Northwestern Mutual and a limited-purpose federal savings bank offering investment management, trust services, and fee-based financial planning. Northwestern Mutual Investment Services, LLC, is a subsidiary of Northwestern Mutual, broker-dealer, registered investment advisor, member, FINRA, and SIPC, offering securities. The opinions expressed are those of Northwestern Mutual as of the date stated on this recording and are subject to change. There is no guarantee that the forecast made will come to pass. The materials do not constitute investment advice and is not intended as an endorsement of any specific investment or security. Information and opinions are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources. All investments carry some level of risk, including the potential loss of principal invested. Indexes and/or benchmarks are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Returns represent past performance and are not a guarantee of future performance and are not indicative of any specific investment. Diversification and strategic asset allocation do not assure profit or protect against loss. Although stocks have historically outperformed bonds, they also have historically been more volatile. Investors should carefully consider their ability to invest during volatile periods in the market. With fixed income securities, such as bonds, interest rates and bond prices tend to move in opposite directions. When interest rates fall, bond prices typically rise, and conversely, when interest rates rise, bond prices typically fall. Bond and bond fund investors should carefully consider risks such as interest rate risk, credit risk, liquidity risk, and inflation risk, before investing in a particular bond or bond fund.